Thank you, Mr. Miller. Good afternoon, everyone. Certainly want to echo a warm welcome to everyone. We are delighted to have our dear friends, the Phelps, staying with us. And I think most of you have already gotten to talk with them. If not, perhaps you'll be able to speak to them after services. They're visiting us from the Cincinnati area. Their whole family was staffing over at Camp Buckeye, so we certainly appreciate the opportunity to fellowship with them a little bit. Brethren, do you remember the old game show on television, Name That Tune? They play a few notes of a song, and then contestants would try to recognize it. Well, we're going to do something a little bit similar today. I simply entitled it, Name That Quote. I'm going to read a quotation to you, and hopefully this will strike a bell of familiarity in your mind. And what you can do then is wave your hand to say, yes, Scott, I know that quote. We're going to start with a practice round here, okay? This is just practice to help us warm up and get our thinking caps on, okay? So when you recognize this quote, you signal me, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, I see a hand or two out there. I'd expect to see more. Okay, well, you get the idea. That's John 3:16, probably one of the most often quoted verses in mainstream Christianity today. Okay, so that was just the practice round. Now we're going into the real round here, okay? So again, put those thinking caps on. 47 years ago. Okay, I see hands already. That's excellent. Good. You recognize that quotation. How many people know who spoke those words? Oh, you're doing great. I see a lot of hands again. President Abraham Lincoln. How many people know the context under which he spoke those words? Where and when and why these words were spoken? Oh, you're batting 1,000 today, brethren. I see hands again. It was at the battlefield from the Battle of Gettysburg in the Civil War. And President Lincoln was making an address. He was dedicating a cemetery there where the fallen soldiers were buried. Did you realize Gettysburg was the bloodiest battle of the entire Civil War? In fact, historians say it was the bloodiest battle ever fought on the American continent, with over 51,000 casualties, 28,000 for the South, 23,000 for the North. In his address, President Lincoln made this statement, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they, these fallen soldiers, did here." Was President Lincoln correct? Was he accurate in his statement? The words that he spoke that day, November 19, 1863, have in fact long been remembered. Those are probably the most often quoted words that he ever spoke, 47 years ago. I have surveyed people just for fun. I've asked them, tell me something that President Lincoln said. And time after time after time, I heard 47 years ago. Not to brag, but when I graduated from high school, I was class valedictorian. And I remember when we had a rehearsal in advance, you know, just making sure that we would be ready when it was time to actually graduate. I remember the vice principal, he said, at this time, Scott Thuvanen will take the stage, he'll go to the lectern, and he'll deliver his address. So I did. They didn't expect me to really give the speech then. I mean, this was just practice. but I should say something. So I said, 67 years ago. Everyone laughed. But you know me, it's hard to shut me up with just a couple words. I continued and I said, that's when Mr. Jolliffe became the principal of our high school. And then everybody really howled. And the vice principal said, well, maybe that'll be one less for graduation. They gave me my diploma anyway. But the point is, people laughed because they recognized those words. Those words have not been forgotten. Those words have been immortalized. How many Americans know the facts that we just reviewed a moment ago here together? How many Americans even know that this address was given in dedication of a cemetery? Those men's actions really don't seem to be what first comes to the mind of many people when they hear 67 years ago, or even when they hear Gettysburg. I'm not trying to take anything away from President Lincoln. He's my favorite president. I wish we had his leadership more currently. But how? How could Honest Abe have missed the boat and been so wrong? Maybe it's just that he was very humble, that he was very modest. He clearly believed that the remarks he was making there at that battlefield were of very little consequence. They were of little worth, he thought, in comparison to what had happened. The shedding of blood, the death of so many soldiers. He thought that their greater sacrifice was by far what would be remembered. Well, brethren, I've taken a lot of time to drive this point home to you all today for this reason. Could this same thing happen to us as Christians? Could we, you, myself, somehow find ourselves thinking, oh, my part in God's work is so small. It's insignificant. It's just tiny. I'm not able to send in big tithes and offerings to the work. As most of you know, I am recently unemployed. There's not going to be a lot of tithe checks going to the home office for me in the near future. What I do is so little, so insignificant. What's really important is what's happening at home office. I mean, think about it. That's where things are happening. The new media campaigns, the campaigns on the internet, all the booklets, the TV program Beyond Today. Isn't that what is really important? I mean, nobody's really going to notice what I do here. Couldn't we all sometimes think that? Well, I hope not, because the Apostle Paul says something very different. Let's read that together. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we will read verses 6 and 7. Paul, speaking here to the Thessalonians, says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Did you notice that in verse 6? Paul said, all of you, you brethren there, you became followers of us, himself and the other apostles, the other brethren who were living God's way. He said, they received the word. What word? God's word, the truth, the gospel. How? He said, in much affliction. You were really up against it. You were in distress. You were having problems. And yet you received that word. Notice what he said next. You received it with joy in the Holy Spirit. Things were really tough and difficult. Yet these people were rejoicing. They were joyful, saying, we have God's truth. It doesn't matter that the world seems to be falling down around us. We have what is really important. And as a result of that, what happened next? What followed? Verse 7, he said, so, because of that, you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Other brethren in the church could say, look at those brethren in Thessalonica. Look at them, the difficulties that they've had. And look what they've done. They have embraced God's truth with joy. It doesn't matter all these difficulties that they've had. They're happy. They're joyful. They're an example. Their example was noted by unbelievers as well as believers. They were filled with joy. Their attitude was noticed by others. Hebrews 6, let's read verse 10. Let's continue that thought in verse 10 of Hebrews 6. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Here we're plainly told, God notices our example. What we do, what we say, what we think, what we pray. He says, God is not unjust. He's going to take note of those things. He's not going to forget them. So what's the message to all of us? What do we need to take home with us to just tuck away in our mental memory bank? We need to remember, brethren, like Honest Abe, we should be humble. We're commanded again and again in God's Word, we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. But at the same time, we are also told very clearly in that same Word, the Word of Almighty God, that our example, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves as Christians, that will, in fact, be noticed.